become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. It is Tuesday, folks, 4th of October, 2011. And we've got Robbie Noel with us. Hello, Robbie.
Hey, my friend.
Hello.
I was thinking about you on Sunday with a big smile on my face.
I bet you were. And you notice I'm a little bit hoarse.
Yes,
I was actually at that game.
No, you were?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was one heck of a game.
I'll tell you, and I wouldn't have gone, but somebody paid for the tickets. I said, so why not? So
why not?
Man? Yeah, I was up in the nosebleed seats in Jerry Jones's, the football church or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. amazing place, but... George Steinbrenner, I always thought that in baseball, George Steinbrenner with the Yankees, and then this guy, Jones, for the Dallas Cowboys, they were kind of like equal competing egos in two different sports arenas. But, Steinbrenner is gone, and Jerry Jones is still acting as general manager, still screwing up the Dallas Cowboys organization. He should get out of the general manager spot. Now, just be the owner, go do his promotions, do whatever he's going to do to try to raise the money to pay that little palace off.
How about them Cowboys?
And you know, the funny thing about this is that we broadcast right into the Big D, and we probably don't make a whole lot of people happy.
Yes. Well, two weeks in a row, man.
Well, yeah, don't tell anybody, but the Lions are going to the Super Bowl. I got the inside fix information.
They're
going to
the
Super Bowl. I'm in cahoots with the Vegas gamblers, and we're setting the odds as we speak. Oh, boy. And you know what? People have said this in the past. The people that go to sports games, you know, they just have their heads up their butt, and they don't care about anything else except their sports. Well, gee, what have I been doing for 20 years? That is my Sunday afternoon diversion, and it has been for many, many years. And I'm not in, I can't cite you the stats from any other teams or their players or personnel. I just like my lowly losing Lions, which just happened not to be losing this year. Only two teams are undefeated. That's last year's Super Bowl champs, which the Lions beat last year, by the way. But never mind all that. We'll forget about that except for Monday Night Football next Monday night when the Bears and the Lions are on Monday Night Football for 10 years. My wife is giving me the cut sign, like quit talking about
this. Talking about football, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the first time I've done this in all my years in broadcasting, carried on this much.
And after the abysmal record the Lions have had up until this point, you're fully justified.
Well, I'll tell you what, where you're at it down there, the next time you see a 57 Chevy, that's the last time the Lions won a championship.
There you go.
Tell you what, we'll take a break here. I want to play you guys something because everybody is getting into the internet television business. Dick Morris now has Dick Morris TV Lunch Alert. And I need to get Bob Chapman's take on this because the man that consistently, and I mean talks out of both sides of his face, Dick Morris, I want to get Bob Chapman's take on it because Dick forgets that George Bush also got rid of American jobs. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We're back here. Here's the Dick Morris clip, then I'm going to get Bob Chapman's take on this. He speaks in half-truths, but he's out there. He's just not talking politics anymore. He's got his own TV show.
Have a nice lunch, or if you're on the West Coast, a nice breakfast. You know, every time I speak, I get asked the following question. Every time. What is Obama up to? What's his motivation? Does he want to weaken the United States, or is he just incompetent? Is he stupid in his economic policies, or does he deliberately want to hurt our country and reduce us to a second-rate power? Everybody's confused about that. Nobody really is certain as to what's motivating him. Well, I have a theory. And I want to talk to you about it. It all goes back to France in 1980. François Mitterrand was elected president in 1980, the first socialist to take power since Léon Blum in the 1930s. And his program was to nationalize everything. He took about 10% of the French economy and moved it from the private sector to the public sector. The banking system, the insurance system, the railroads, every part of the French economy that he could move, car companies, the whole bit. And what happened at that point was that all of French capital fled France like crazy and went to either Margaret Thatcher's Britain or Ronald Reagan's America. And while Britain and the United States recovered from the recession that was going on in that period smartly in 1982, France wallowed in it for a long time, and it went deeper in France than it did in any other country. So a few years later, the French voters voted for a right-wing prime minister who reversed all of those nationalizations and privatized everything. The European socialists learned from that experience, and they learned that what Vladimir Lenin said at the time of the Russian Revolution was absolutely accurate. You cannot have socialism in just one country, because if you try it, the capital will move to the other countries where there's still capitalism and freedom, and you'll lose your industry, you'll lose your economic base. That was why Lenin, after he took power, initiated the new economic policy, the NEP, that basically restored capitalism to Russia. Then Stalin solved the problem by killing everybody who didn't do what he wanted so that he was able to have socialism in one country as part of a reign of terror. But still, the basic point remained. So what the Europeans did was they took what was then the common market, essentially a free trade association, and they morphed it into the European Union. And they brought Britain into it, integrated the British economy into the European economy, and set up standardized work rules for the whole economy. Everybody had to have a certain amount of vacation. Nobody could fire workers without appeals. Everybody could limit the number of hours that people worked, and all kinds of reforms or changes that were not acceptable in a capitalist system, but were essential to a socialist system. But the problem was that capital left Europe and moved to the United States. That's why from the time Ronald Reagan took office until the time Obama took office, 80% of the newly created jobs in the Western world were created in the United States, because the United States did not have those same work rules, and people moved their production, moved their headquarters, moved their offices to the United States to get in under the more liberal and loose labor laws. So what Obama is trying to do is to bring the United States in to the European system. He's trying to bring our society and our economy into the same rules that Europe has. Why? Because he believes in them. He believes that the ethics of socialism and the protections of workers, the limitations on the amount they work, the maximization of their vacations, the limitations on upward mobility in return for egalitarianism that underscores socialism is really the way to go. And what he's really doing is eliminating the United States as the odd man out. Now, the consequence of that is no economic growth. The consequence of that is that you spread the wealth, but you also diminish it, and that nobody can really work overtime, nobody can climb up, nobody can move up the socioeconomic rung. You know, in 1990, they did a study where they took the bottom 20% of the United States economy, the poorest fifth of the American people, and they traced them over the 10 years, and they looked in 2000 at where that bottom 20% was. That was at the bottom fifth in 1990. Where were they by 2000? You know what they found? 17% of the bottom 20% were still poor, still in the bottom 20%. 18% were in the top 20%. They were the richest fifth in the United States. And the other 70% or two-thirds were in the three quintiles in between. So that upward mobility is so alive and so thriving in the United States, but not in Western Europe. There is no upward mobility. There is no changing of economic classes. You move up or down as a class. You don't move up or down as an individual. And you move up or down based on government policies, not based on hard work and individual initiative. And that is the system Barack Obama is trying to bring to the United States. Now, unless we turn him out of office in 2012, he is going to succeed. If these policies that he has that are already in place, the government spending, the Obamacare, the vast expansion of entitlements, 50 million Americans on food stamps. Unless we reduce that stuff by eliminating the control, the political control of the Democratic Party in 2012, by 2016, it's going to be too late. This stuff will be in stone, and it'll be almost impossible to dislodge it. And those are the true stakes of the 2012 election. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Dick Morris. Bob Chapman, what do you think of that?
Whoever wrote it had a fairly good grasp of history. The only thing I can remember about Monsieur Mitterrand is that There was a horse named after him who did exceedingly well in classic races. But anyway, these are the political types that inhabit capitals of all countries throughout the world. And yes, it's Mr. Obama's doing it, not the guy before him.
Yeah.
And what he's obviating here is the real problem. There is no difference between the two parties, 90% of which are controlled by campaign contributions and lobbying, and these people are bought and paid for. So there isn't a Democratic way of doing things or a Republican way. All there is a way that fits for the power elite who are behind this whole thing, and they give all the orders, and they come up with all the money and the campaign contributions and the lobbying. You know, I got to divert for a second here, and it's important that I do, and I'm going to get back to the subject. But talking about that, as you know on this program, since last December, I talked about the attempt will be made by major transnational corporations to bring money back to the United States, which they now hold offshore, tax-free. And there's a big move on now, started a couple of weeks ago in Washington. 160 lobbyists. The PAC is led by Apple, Google, and Cisco, and scores of others. And they want that same 5.25% tax instead of 35%. And they're buying everybody in Washington. And if you haven't been bought yet, just wait a while. Now, what is this going to cost? They're talking in terms, officially in the media, of $1 trillion. Offshore profits to come back. And the excuse is America needs it. The last time they did this, they promised to create jobs. They didn't create very many. And what they did is they took the money, and this is a provable fact, and they bought shares in their companies, running the shares up with that money from within the company, and then they blew off all their stock options and made hundreds of billions of dollars. They want to do it again. Last time it was $350 billion. This time, and they're talking about $1 trillion, the figure's $2.2 trillion. And how much will we lose in taxation? For $1 trillion, they say $78 billion. For $2.2 trillion, the figure will be $750 billion that the American taxpayer will lose in taxes if this is legislated. Now, the reason I brought that up is that this is what Washington's all about today, enriching the rich. And there is no party. They all belong to the same group of criminals who are taking kickbacks from the criminals from behind the scenes, who are in Wall Street, banking, transnational corporations, etc. And so, what Mr. What is his name again?
Dick Morris.
Yeah, I forgot his name. Dick Morris, he's the, they didn't send him to jail, did they? He's the guy with the foot fetish.
Yeah.
And the prostitutes, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a, yeah, I remember that. It was several years ago. I identify some people sometime in strange ways. But the point is this, it's a cover. He's making you believe that he's a strong Republican and the Democrats are doing the wrong thing and it's the president's fault.
But wasn't
it all Falderall?
But wasn't he the campaign guy for Bill Clinton?
Yep, he was. He was his number one advisor.
And I think... Whoops, geez, is that hot. I seem to remember that he kind of played off at the recession of the late 70s, early 80s. That was a deep recession, 79, 80, 81, 82. It was more profit-taking time and give the banks a little respite. And geez, what was the interest rates at that time, 20, 21%? Yeah, we'll be back, folks.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
And of course, Dick Morris is not going to tell you that under the Clinton administration, Billy Clinton oversaw the overthrow of the Glass-Steagall Act. We then had Georgie Porgy roll into town, and under his tenure, and the last couple of years, we were slipping in a recession and into depression, that's for sure, before Barack Obama even showed up on the scene. But this guy was responsible for the outsourcing and offshoring of some 8 million to 10 million jobs. So they've all been part and parcel of taking America apart, undermining its economic strength and viability. And now we've got the new punch dummy, which, hey, they're all puppets. Okay, let's just face it, in Washington, D.C., they're not their own men. They don't have their own visions. What they have is a carefully crafted program on how to get the new dummy into office to use them as a front so the real power brokers behind the scene can continue to obfuscate, manipulate, and then rape what's left of America. Now, Bob, transitioning into your newsletter, you are talking about that $400 billion increase in debt recently enacted, and not satisfied, the Senate, as you reported, added another $500 billion to that, so we're almost up to $1 trillion, and the media covered all this up by making major issues of the speech, Obama's speech concerning job creation. And then we bring in this super committee that people are still ever so quietly, but the voices are disappearing, that this super committee that they've set up in Congress that's responsible for, and I must say that it's kind of unconstitutional, but that's another bailiwick we'll get into a later time. But their work is to cut $2 trillion from the budget. And this is going to be concluded by, next month. Now, as you write in your newsletter, Bob, you said these cuts were not designed as such, but they will help slow any recovery, as will any tax increases. As the CBO says, the wrong thing at the wrong time. Even with the tax cuts, the budget cuts and the tax increases, about half of the federal government spending will still have to be borrowed. Now, worse yet, most of the cuts will come from Social Security and Medicare, which are not entitlements but are benefits the public has already paid for. And they're trying to play the role, as you put it, Robin Hood, take from those who sacrificed and paid for the benefits and give to those who paid nothing into the system. And this is rather unfortunate because this is also a big voting block in the country. Retirees don't have a whole lot to do but sit around and think they know the political game, and they go to the polls and pull the lever for the ones that, just scared the hell out of them. You know, like, we're going to take your Medicare and your Medicaid benefits, and, you know, Social Security is under the gun. And, Bob, I printed off, and I read only, I think, up to the letter E. I went to the usgov.com website. Of all the agencies that the United States government and its friends have helped create, hundreds. And I read this thing, and I put my own title on it, they can't decide what to cut out of the budget, really? And it took me a half hour to get to the letter E. And I said, I'm not going to bore you folks. The only letters left out of this is K, Q, X, Y, or Z. They all say the same things. The government's too big. We've got to downsize. Ronald Reagan said the same thing, but there were many jobs that were created in the federal venue. So we've been doing this year after year after year after year. And every cycle, they blame the other party for all the woes. In the meantime, it's the corporate donors. It is the lobbyists in Washington, D.C. that really set policy. Now, you in your newsletter, Bob, and this just makes too much sense. You're talking about banks. They've not been lending to us, but they actually have on deposit $2 trillion. But they've cut back loans to small and medium-sized businesses 30% just over the last 2 years. And you say if those loans were forthcoming, there would be a boom in employment. These companies create 70% of all the jobs. So rather than spending all these trillions of dollars supposedly to stimulate the economy, why don't they, and do we see shades here of 1929 to 1940, where there was hardly any money in the system? The Fed bank pulled all of its resources, took all of its capital, and went someplace for over a decade. Do we see the same thing happening again, Bob?
Yes, only worse. And last time, they cut off the money supply, and they knew that afterwards was the wrong thing to do. And this time, they're going to create money and credit and forever and ever and hope it works. And it's not going to work, and they know it. And it's just another method of bringing the world economy to its knees. So the public, particularly in the United States, England, and Europe, are brought to their knees financially and economically, so that they will be forced to accept world government. And that's what this is all about. And that's why it's so important that we're on the radio the way we are and we're publishing the way we are, because we want people to know who's doing what to them and why.
And
when the time comes and they lose, we'll know exactly who to try and put in jail, etc.
Do you think that the Obama administration in the last couple of years has managed to move offshore 450,000 companies and corporations? Do you think Obama did that?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
I got to say, if you have not read this edition of the International Forecaster, you're only going to get a little bit of it here because we don't possibly have enough time in 2 hours to cover all of it. But the salient points in Bob Chapman's newsletter here are absolutely devastating. The country should have the ability to see just six paragraphs of the first two pages. Bob, you go on to say the main reasons for this state of affairs, and we're talking about unemployment at 22.4%, 45 million people on food stamps. The reason for the state of affairs in 11 years, 11.7 million good-paying jobs have been shipped to foreign low-wage countries in the name of free trade, globalization, offshoring, and outsourcing. That includes the loss of 450,000 companies to foreign lands that nobody ever talks about, especially our Congress. This gutting of the U.S. economy goes on daily, and it's expected we will lose another 20 more million jobs in the next 10 years. That means your children out there, folks, you don't even know what's coming, do you? And 20 more million in the following 10 years. So in the next 20 years, expect to lose another 40 million of what's left of jobs here in this country. Bob, the Illuminati crowd is working overtime to destroy what last vestiges were once the United States of America.
The greatest country on earth.
Used to be.
At one time. And you know, eventually in this battle, we're going to win. And that's at least my feeling. And that's why I do what I do. And the bottom line is going to be, as far as I'm concerned, and I love talking about this on radio, we know all of whom you are and what you've done. And once the situation presents itself, we will legally bring you to court, whether it's civilly or criminally, relieve you of all your wealth and your family's wealth. And for those of you who have committed treason, like George W. Bush, you will be hanged.
I certainly hope so. I hope I'm still alive. But the problem I'm seeing here, guys, is that are we going to be doing... We're not going to have internet, and we're not going to have cable television sitting and groveling in our grass huts. Because if this continues, and it's going to continue, it's going to go on unabated. You know, I mean, we have a private monopoly controlling the economy of the United States called the Fed Reserve, and that's just the Illuminist arm inside the United States. You've seen what they've done here. Well, the overall push and the overall game plan behind this is a one-world economy. So they've got to necessarily hammer an anvil and beat down those. You can't bring something like the United States in, where we had standards of living, where we had, at one point in time, free enterprise, what the government didn't try to regulate out of existence or tax out of existence. Now, if you've managed to hang on to that through all of that, well, now there's no money for you to keep operating in business. I mean, the fix is in. When you get into this type of detail, it is very, very hard to make people understand that this is, they're following a program. None of this is by accident. None of this just oops and happened. I'll give you an example. I saw an interview when they had hearings here on the bank bailouts, and Alan Greenspan came toddling in, the dried-up old fart that he is. He was asked a question by one individual. He goes, well, wait a minute. He said the SEC and the Glass-Steagall Act and all that stuff went out the window. And he said, you saw these the countrywide cheap mortgages starting to hit and the stuff being repackaged. He says, where were you during that period of time? And he goes, well, during my tenure, he said, I was about right 70% of the time. 30% of the time I was wrong. Well, as the chairman of the Federal Reserve, watching all of this going on underneath him, he did absolutely nothing about. He came out, and what the media latched on to, and we still remember this irrational exuberance of the spending of the federal government, that's not really what caused this. It didn't help. This is just showing up like a big whacked sore thumb in everybody's face that now we got to do budget cuts in Washington because there's no money. Well, thank you, Mr. Banker, and all of your associates that helped get us to this point. Now, Bob, up to speed here where you're talking about the new, and am I hearing you right, with the dot-com companies coming in? Is this the new dot-com bubble coming in?
Well, they'd like it to be, but it's not going to happen. And it would be only for their own ingratiation. Incidentally, in December of 95, when Greenspan made that statement regarding irrational exuberance, I and only one other journalist said the same thing. If you want to slow down what's going on in the market, it's real simple. Since 1933, margin requirements have been 50%. So you have the ability to buy a stock for $10 and only put up $5, and you borrow the rest of the money. All Mr. Greenspan had to do was change the margin requirements to 60%, and the game would have been over. But he wasn't going to do that.
There is, Bob, where do you see this ending up short-term, saying the next year or two?
Well, they'll have a better market going into the election. They'll arrange that. The market could sell down on the Dow here to 8,500, perhaps 10,500, and that probably would be sufficient. It was close to 10,000 500 today and yesterday. And then from there on out, they let the market lay dormant. And then in May, June, July, August, they'll take it up. And it'll go back up to probably 11,000, 12,800, somewhere in there. And that'll make everybody happy. And there'll be all of the excitement of elections, and people will fall into the same old Democrat-Republican category and be excited about voting for their demise, but they don't know it. And I think thereafter, the whole world's going to come unglued. And it could, in Europe, happen before that, because I think they've really made a mess out of things over there. And, you know, from the very beginning, and I won't go over it because we've done it in the program before, but Greece is bankrupt. Five others are bankrupt countries. And Greece can't abide by the rules. It's impossible. They're on the verge of revolution in the country. And the money's been allocated by other solvent European Union players, countries. But I don't know that they're going to give them the money because they didn't meet the criteria. And if they give them the money, the Greeks will go bankrupt anyway, and probably they'll lose 60% on the dollar on all the bonds and the loans they've got, which would be devastating to the banking community. On top of that, the other alternative, if they get the money, they'll go bankrupt. If they don't get the money, they'll go bankrupt right away. And I understand from my sources in Hong Kong, and this will be in tomorrow's issue, that, and I just got received an email, I'm going to repeat it, reprint it in the publication, and this is really inside information. The Chinese government is almost finished with their negotiations to purchase three of the largest banks in France. So this is the kind of things that's going on. So it's no wonder that the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department are leaning on gold, silver, and commodities, because they know when the world finds this out, they're going to go right back up again. So they want to get them as low as they can, so they just go up to where they were before and maybe not higher. Well, of course they're going to go higher. But this is the game that they're playing. So there's bad news coming, real bad news in Europe. And so reflecting on the American economy, there's going to be losers here, because 35% of the money in money market funds is invested in bank and sovereign paper in Europe. And then the five major banks in New York, they have issued credit default swaps, which is insurance against the failure of some of the bonds and notes that the banks in Europe are holding on Greece. That's $150 billion. And so what are we looking at here? I don't know, $300 billion? So the U.S. is not going to be unscathed, and it's as simple as that. And so the world will start to feel it. And so will we get a respite? Maybe. It all depends on how it plays out. And before you come on, John, one more thing. I have been told by people in Frankfurt that the German government, the Bundesbank, has given instructions for the printing of Deutschmarks. So they have no intention of staying in the euro.
Well, but here's
the
problem.
So you people who are in the euro, get rid of them and buy gold and silver, because that's going to be far more valuable than a falling euro.
Well, my next question had to do with Germany. Why did Merkel roll over with the bailout for Greece if she's planning on turning around and dropping out of this and printing Deutschmarks? She's already committed resource that may drag Germany right down the tubes along with the rest of them.
Well, first of all, the money that's been committed in their part is $250 billion.
Oh, well, that's just a pauper sum.
Now, she's a communist. and half the people in the cabinet are communists. They're all from ex-Eastern Germany. And so how she ever got into the CDU, I'll never know. Christian Democratic Union is middle of the road to slightly to the right, so that leaves her out. But anyway, they also said when they allocated the additional funds that this is it, no more. We're telling you now, no more, which means the other five countries besides Greece, if Greece even qualifies for the money, they're cut off permanently. Because if Germany doesn't give money to bail them out, nobody's going to give money. So that means, if you follow the trail forward, that those six European countries must go bankrupt over the next couple of years, maybe even sooner. And the grand dream of this European Union and Eurozone and the Euro is going to die, and they know it. The game is over, and the stupid Swiss just devalued their currency by 15% and hooked it up on a fixed basis with the euro. They've got to be out of their minds. They've destroyed their own currency.
Let's go to the phones. Henry in Connecticut. Hello, Henry.
Heinrich.
Yes, hi. Listening to the whole thing. You're telling me that you mentioned about the printing of Deutschmarks in Germany. Is it that you have a lot of people in Germany that underneath Merkel, not directly involved with Merkel, but underneath, you know, where she's at the top, but they're doing things their own way underneath her, similar like even some things in the Third Reich. So is it that these people are doing it, you know, in the Bundesbank with Merkel's consent or knowledge, or are they doing it, you know, without her fully aware of what's going on? I have other questions.
She knows.
I don't hear that
there's
part.
There's no okay. question. Heine, there's no question that she knows what's going on, but it's beyond her. You know, they've decided in sanctorum, if you may, that this is the way they've got to go. The whole thing has been a failure. It was all unnatural to begin with. They made one mistake after another. I've written about it for, 14 years. A monstrosity. If they'd done it right, they could have got what they wanted. But they didn't do it right. And can you imagine three major French banks up for sale to the Chinese? You got to be kidding me. I mean, things are bad enough with the Muslims running around the country.
I was going to say, it's bad enough that France is becoming a Mongolized nation as it is with all this third world crap from France was burnt down, you know, a couple of years ago. You remember that, you know, with the cars and everything. Because I met a guy on a subway train in New York from France, but he was not in Paris area, luckily. He was in the far eastern part of, northeastern part of France, which is closer to Belgium. And, you know, this was after the riot thing. And this bull crap about, oh, it was a bunch of teenagers and just a few seven teenagers that went around burning down a country. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. How are they going to sleep? They got to sleep, they got to eat, and a little bit sleep, and then go back. What are they going to do that for a couple hours and then sleep somewhere and go, you know, no. It was tens of thousands of people doing that stuff. It wasn't just 7 or 17 teenagers running across the country with no car or anything, burning down half the northern part of a country. Come on. But you mentioned about if they'd done it right. What way, I'm sorry I didn't hear about your newsletter 14 years ago. I did read the New York Stadt Zeitung, Unherald, which is a German-American newspaper, and back in the mid-90s, they were talking about how they didn't like the euro. But what area do you mean that they could have done it right? I mean, you're saying that if Merkel and them did it right, they would have had what they wanted, but because they kept doing the things they were doing, it turned out the way it is. What area do you see, in what way, for your opinion, where they could have done it right? I'm just curious, you know, because you know.
Well, first of all, they should have started off with a European Union constitution, and they didn't do that.
Okay.
They left the politics for later because they were so greedy to get this thing down. The evolving euro, which would become the world currency, and the European Union, the model for all of the European-type unions all over the world, which would eventually be amalgamated into a one-world government. They also had one interest rate fit all, which was absolute insanity. I mean, Germany's a vibrant country, and France is, and they're manufacturing this, that, and the other thing, and they're strong, and they get good reserves. And their interest rates are 3.5%, say. Well, in those peripheral countries, the ones that are in trouble today, their interest rates are 6, 7, 8, 9%. So when you had one interest rate, you had a disaster happen. Because people were getting money that shouldn't be getting money at 3.5%. And they went bonkers, and you saw the boom in real estate in Ireland, Portugal, Spain. They abused the whole thing, even in Italy. And so the next thing is the Maastricht Treaty. 3% of public debt, of GDP, would be the limit. And they knew darn right well that none of those other countries could stick to that. And today the figures are preposterous. And so you have these basic underlying problems, and that's what screwed the whole thing up for them. And there's no return. They got to do away with it now.
Henry, I thank you for your call, sir. Let's go to Mark in Texas. Hello, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon. First thing I did, I thought of this one on Tuesday. Let's start with the question. What's the difference between a king and a leader?
I don't know. My brain's not working that quick. What's the difference, Mark?
A leader has to be a
Robbie person. Knows. Robbie, what is it?
Robbie!
Sorry, guys.
Oh, he's got the Pacific go out again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not paying close attention there.
Yeah. So anyhow, Mark, what's the difference?
The only one
a king is a dictator, and a leader is somebody who leads people. We'll call it by a national consent.
The difference between a king and a leader is the leader has to be a better salesman.
That could be.
Yeah.
That's all. Now,
do you fit that category?
No, sir.
Oh.
No, sir.
I'm disappointed.
Here's the next question.
Sound like you could.
Next question.
Yeah.
Are our nations, all these nations in the world, is in trouble? Is the nation's debt growing because the government is growing, or is the government growing because the nation's debt is growing?
Gee.
That's a good question.
Well, the government really isn't growing, the government, is spending, as we know, far, far more money than what comes in revenue. And
but,
so the government's not, the government is surviving, let's put it that way.
Is not the government, though, through this continuity government, we all know it must continue, are they not gathering collateral or gathering assets to service the debt? Now, if you're in debt personally, you may have to get two jobs. Would that be considered, if you parallel that to government, that would be growing government. They're gathering assets to service the debt. I think a lot of this falls into similar to what fracking is being done. We don't have a shortage of natural gas in America. If anything, we have an overabundance. Well, what they've done is they found a way to tap into more resources to throw it as collateral against the debt.
It could be. That's possible. And the reports I'm getting is that there's all kinds of drilling going on in the Dakotas and thereabouts. And you're right. They are pursuing natural resources, and oil and gas is one of them.
Well, it's like, I mean, just consider this for a minute. Goldman Sachs, according to the figures I've seen, has $47 trillion in derivatives. If it was just a money deal only, and we're talking just money, you can't tell me that the SEC couldn't go in there, shut their doors, clean their assets out, take them over to the Federal Reserve, and say, here's $47 trillion in derivatives. And you can keep the change, by the way. This money thing, I don't think it's all revolving around money as much as it is actual collateral that is assets, hard, cold assets. That's what we're seeing going on here.
Well, you could be very well be right.
You know, it's even like the taxation. You know, we all get taxed. We all know that it's just money. It actually is the medium of exchange. It's not any type of wealth that we're giving them, even though it's backed by the labor. But I think what they're doing is they're gathering assets any way they can get it. All the nations,
yeah.
Not just us.
Well, and this issue, Mark, about we've got to tax the rich. You know, Warren Buffett steps up and says, hey, you know, I'd be willing to pay more taxes, pay my fair share. You know, this whole thing, whether the corporations pay 5.5% or they pay 35% or whatever. Look, General Electric doesn't hardly pay any taxes at all. I don't know the exact percentage of what they are paying, but I can guarantee
you
it's, yeah, I was just going to say, Bob, it's way less than 5%.
Yep.
So this issue of, you know, this class warfare thing, now the middle class is being squeezed.
It's all circus.
Now we divert everybody's attention over to the fat cats and over to this and over to that, where it's not about that at all. We've got a cancer and we've had a problem inside this country that is, it's called the Federal Reserve. It's called their fiat money system. Whereas if we didn't have this, I mean, my God in heaven, think about this. How much wealth would each individual have? You would able to be, you'd without all the taxes and without all the government gobbledygook, in a free market, you could go to McDonald's and make $8, $10 an hour, and guess what? You could survive very nicely. You can't do this because, well, there's this high rate of inflation and devaluation of the dollar. I mean, we do not have anybody in this government that understands how business is supposed to work. And they've all been part and parcel, one time or another, putting their fix in, their remedy, their regulation, their wishes. They've been there for the tax game. They've been there for this game. And millions of people are losing their asses right now. Yet they sit there with Ben Bernanke today for a special two-hour session. And you should have seen it. It looked like a damn love fest. It looked like a freaking love fest. None of these people are interested in you. They're not interested in your problem. You're just a statistic on a sheet. That's all that you are. You matter not to them. They don't care whether you have children. They don't care if you have grandchildren. They don't care if you've got a job. They don't care if you can't afford your mortgage. They don't care if you can't afford to go to the doctor when you're sick. They don't give a crap because they've been in on the fix. Bottom line. Now that I've blown out the rest of my voice, we'll say goodbye to Robbie Noel. Thanks, Robbie, for being here today. Can't hear me because we've already dropped you. Continue into the next hour, 800-313-9443. Take America back. We must take America.